And it was revealed to Jacob, and the Most High told Jacob to cleanse his house, where they had to put away all the idols that were before the Most High. So he's teaching us, when we came out of Egypt, we had idolatrous ways with us that we needed to correct. It says, and ye serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers have served that were on the other side of the flood, meaning on the other side of Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will do what? We will serve the Lord. So from day one, Joshua was teaching us that he leads by example, that he leads by teaching the people according to how the Most High instructed him. That's why that generation, they were in righteousness. The people followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Why? Because they were being taught correctly. Go back to the book of Judges, chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 8. It says in chapter 2, verse 8, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation. So all those elders, Joshua, and all those elders that were with Joshua, they died eventually. Then what came up? Came up a new generation. What happened with that generation? It says, another generation after them, which knew not the Lord. How did they not, they didn't know the Most High? How can they not know the Most High? This is how. It says, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. They didn't know the miracles. They didn't know the plagues. They didn't know their history. And as a result, by not knowing their history, what happened to that generation? It says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim. I mean, they served idols. They served false gods. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and follow other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal, and Ashtaroth. So who were they serving? Baal and Ashtaroth. And today, our people, they don't know their history. They don't know that Christ was not keeping Easter, that Christ was keeping Passover. But instead they go, oh, let's do Easter. Serving who? Ashtaroth, the same idol. Our people have not changed. So that's why it's necessary for us to go over the history. Like we went over the history of the Maccabees. Don't take that lightly. Take it very serious of what we learned, of how our forefathers died not to eat swine, not to break the Sabbath. So how can somebody lie to us and say, well, those things are done away with? It's impossible. Because by them doing those things, giving them their lives up, they receive a good report. That even Paul spoke of them and said that they shall receive what? The inheritance of the kingdom. What they did was not evil. What they did is honorable before the Most High. So the first thing we're going to learn about is in Egypt is when the Most High called Moses. Let's go to Exodus chapter 7. When you get a chance, read the faith of Moses. It explains how Moses was no different than the nation of Israel. How the nation of Israel are lost. They didn't know their nationality. Mm-hmm. Moses didn't know his nationality at one point. The Most High had to reveal it unto him. Right? Moses is a perfect example of what happens to us. You know, how the Most High called us out of this world to repentance. Whether we are poor or rich, Moses went through all of it. So we have to understand that part of the history. So now, when the Most High called Moses, what did he say to our forefather? Let's go to Exodus chapter 7. This is the beginning of when the Most High told Moses and Aaron how they're going to serve the Lord. How they're going to make his name to be known in greatness. So it says Exodus chapter 7 verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy prophet, thy brother shall be thy prophet. So what does that mean? It's giving us an example of what is to come in the future. How Christ, the mediator, just like Moses the mediator, is going to be a what? In God's stead, unto us. While we are his what? His prophets. You understand? So Moses was in God's stead for who? For Pharaoh, for the children of Israel, and for Aaron. For Aaron was his minister, you know, his prophet, his mouth, you know, his lips. So likewise us, we are his prophets, we are his teachers, we are his ministers. It says, Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh. And he sent the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. So the Most High let us know that he was going to do what to Pharaoh? Was Pharaoh going to let them go free? No. He said he's going to harden his heart so that he could show his power. He could show his signs and his wonders upon the land of Egypt. It says, But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great, what? Judgments. So the ways of the Lord are what? Judgment, like we read in Deuteronomy. Now, don't take for granted the lesson that we're learning about Pharaoh. How the Most High hardened Pharaoh's heart. Can our hearts be hardened? Yes, our hearts could be hardened. Remember that you have examples of people that were Israelites that were serving the Most High in righteousness at the beginning. Their hearts were what? Hardened because of sin. Like Saul. Saul had the Spirit of the Lord. Then that spirit was taken, and the evil spirit overtook him and hardened his heart against what? The keeping of the commandments. Alright? There's a bunch of scriptures that speak about that. But we're not covering that today. It says, And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt. Meaning the Most High, not only did he do this to show us his power and might, but also to show it to whom? The nations. Why would he want to show his power and might to the nations? That's something we're covering later on. Keep that in mind. Why would he want to show them his power and might? Why? Why to the Egyptians? There's a reason why. It says, And bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they. And Moses was 80 years old, meaning he was 80 years old. And Aaron 83 years old, meaning he was 83. And when they spake unto Pharaoh, says, And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and did this as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Now showing you what? Does Satan have power? Yes. Who gave him that power? The verses above told you that it was the Most High. Why? Because the Most High was doing it to harden the heart of who? Of Pharaoh. Now, is it... A lot of our people, they do what? Witchcraft. It actually works for them. Because just like it worked for these bastards here that we're reading about. Now, does that mean it is okay to do? No. It is against the commandments of the Lord. is a sin worthy of death? That's another topic. Read the horoscopes. Read that report. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Why does it mention that Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods? Meaning, the Most High was showing that my power is above your power. That's what the Most High was showing. Because they couldn't reverse, as we're going to read on, they were unable to reverse any of the plagues or any of the miracles that the Most High did. So the Most High was showing them that, listen, I am all powerful. You're weak. I'm the one that has set you up. I'm the one that gives Satan the power to let you do these things. That's what the Lord is showing them. It says, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord has said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. So the Moses, I told him, listen, you see, I told you his heart is going to be hardened. Why? Because the miracles that they did, the Egyptians were able to do it as well. But he didn't get the spiritual meaning of that their rods got swallowed up by the Most High. It says, get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water. And thou shalt stand by the river brink against he come. And the rod was turned to a serpent, shall thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews have sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are upon the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink. And the Egyptians shall loathe to drink the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. So remember that it says here that the Most High turned their water into blood. Now, think about it, right? Why would the Most High turn their water into blood? What was the purpose of him doing that? There's a reason why. Let's go to Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 11, to find out why the Most High turned their water into blood. It says there, Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 11, we're going to start at verse 1. She prospered, she is talking about wisdom. She prospered their work in the hand of the holy prophet. What is the holy prophet? Moses. It says, they went through the wilderness that was not inhabited, and pitched tents in places where they lay no way. They stood against their enemies and were avenged of their adversaries. They were avenged. The plagues were vengeance from the Most High. When they were thirsty, they called upon thee, and water was given them out of the flinty rock. So what that happened? When that happened? When we came out of Egypt, our people were literally thirsty, and they were murmuring, saying, Moses, you have brought us here to die, because there was no water. And Moses stroked upon the rock, and out of a rock where water would never come out from, out of a rock the Most High made a stream of water to come, bless the children of Israel with water. It's ironic That's what Solomon is trying to tell us. It's not coincidental that the Most High, in the same thing that he plagued Egypt, is the same thing he blessed us with. It says, and was quenched out of the hard stone. For by what things their enemies were punished, by the same there in their need were benefited. So meaning by the same thing that they were punished, the Egyptians, by those same things we were blessed. It says, for instead of a fountain of perpetual running river, troubled with foul blood. Now it's going to show us why the Most High gave them all their waters to be cursed, to be turned into blood. It says, for a manifest, meaning a revealing of what? Reproof, correction, a manifest correction. It says, of that commandment. What commandment? Whereby the infants were slain. Now the king of Egypt, before Moses came, they gave a commandment to say what? All the male children of the Hebrews were to be killed. Guess how they killed the male children? By drowning them in the river. That's why the Most High turned the water into blood, to make a manifestation that what they did was evil. Let's hold your spot there for a second. It says here, verse 7, for a manifested reproof of the commandment whereby the infants were slain, thou gavest unto them abundance of water by means which they hoped not for. So meaning the Egyptians were cursed in the water, by the water, because of the wickedness that he had done. Now he said, whereas the children of Israel was blessed in receiving water is something that you cannot hope for water to come out from. Fire could come out of stone, but not water. So showing us the great miracle the Most High did to Israel. It says, declaring by what, by that thirst, then, how thou hadst punished their adversaries. For when they were tried, albeit but in mercy, chastised, they knew how the ungodly were judged in wrath, and tormented, thirsting in another manner than the just. Meaning, our thirst was different from what? The thirst of the Egyptians. While the Egyptians, they thirsted, and wrath was upon them, because they were not able to deliver themselves from what? The blood. They were not able to get that out of the way. Israel, they were being tried. And when they cried unto the Most High because of their thirst, they received speedily their desire. It says, verse 10, for these thou didst admonish, meaning our people, he admonished, and tried as a father. He dealt with us like a father. But the other, meaning the Egyptians, as a severe king. It says, thou didst condemn and punish, whether they were absent or present. Meaning, if they were in a far place from Egypt, because remember it said the pools, the cups, regardless whether it was the river or not, their water was turned to what? Blood. Whether they were absent or present, they were vexed alike. For a double grief came upon them, and a groaning for the remembrance of things past. Why a double grief? Why a double grief? Because when this turned into blood, their food, which is the fishes, died. So, by one judgment comes what? Another. Just like, for example, when you read about a storm came in and wiped away a city, the Most High doesn't have to kill the whole city. And some of us might get upset, like, damn, Lord, you wiped away the city and you only killed three people? That doesn't make sense. No, it makes perfect sense. Why? Because now they're going to have what? Cold. They're going to have hunger. They're going to be thirsty. They're going to have lack of food, lack of clothing. They're going to be suffering. Swift death is not really that bad. if you think about it, that's why the Most High does things. At times it's like, why did this happen? And the Most High only killed like 3 or 4 people in a hurricane. That makes sense. Why did he preserve all these people? It's because he wants them to suffer. That's why. So, in like fashion, when he turned the water into blood, he was making the Egyptians not suffer by thirst only, but their food. Because they traded all that thing. It wasn't just grains and stuff like that they ate. You know, fish was very important at that time. So it says here that he gave them a double grief to know that by the same thing that they sin, the same thing you're going to be punished by. Because it says in verse 14, for whom they rejected with scorn, when they rejected him with scorn, at the beginning with the serpents, when he was long before thrown out at the casting forth of the infants, him in the end, when they saw what came to pass, they admired. But for the foolish devices of their wickedness, wherewith, I'll stop there for now. Alright, so that is showing us why they were being judged by water turned to blood. Because they were killing the infants by drowning them in the Nile River. That's how they were killing our children. Alright, back to Exodus. This is in Exodus chapter 7 and verse, bless you. It says in chapter 7 verse 20, and Moses and Aaron did this so, as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with the enchantments. So they were like, we could turn water into blood also. So they turned the water into blood, the Egyptians as well. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord has said. Now think about it. Would they be able to do that at a grand scale as Moses did it? No. They would never have been able to do it. Now, were they able to turn back, the water from blood to water? No. He didn't consider that, okay, you could turn the water into blood, but can you turn it back? he didn't think about that. It says, and Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians dig round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled. After that, the Lord had smitten the river. So 7 days passed, and they had all blood. So then the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Now how did the Egyptians get that water to be able to turn it to blood? How were they able to do that? That's my question. Because if how were they able to get water to turn it into blood? How were the magicians able to do that? Huh? Go to chapter 11 and verse 7. Chapter 11, verse 7. And it's going to be said once more as we keep reading throughout the plate. It says, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how the Lord doth feel the difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Remember that the plagues of Egypt only affected who? Mm-hmm. The Egyptians. So in the land of Goshen, water. Where the Israelites were dwelling, there was water. That's how they were able to gain regular water to turn it into blood. Alright, let's go back to chapter 8. It says in chapter 8, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall be bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thy house, into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, into thy netting troughs, and the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with the enchantment, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, now, let's stop here. So, examine that. The next thing that happens to them is they receive frogs. Frogs upon the land of Egypt. Now, what effect will frogs have upon the Egyptian? The first thing is that he said, they will be upon you, they will be upon your ovens, they will be upon... So it was so much in abundance that they couldn't really escape the frogs. Remember that not only there's certain type of frogs that could be poisonous, you know what I'm saying? Certain type of frogs that could be dangerous to the people. By bringing this, he brought it from where? He brought it from the same waters that he judged by. The same waters. But the frogs were brought up also by the Egyptians. The magician said, we can do that too. We'll show you. And they brought up frogs. But guess what happened? It says here in verse 8. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy